بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. relentlessness of the people of Madinah Munawwarah. This fatal blow of Sayyidina Farooq al-A'zam radiyallahu ta'ala created grieving atmosphere in Madinah Munawwarah. All from the migrators and helpers surrounded him, wishing that our ages be given to you so you remain alive serving Islam. Efforts to treat him were made, but they were not effective. They were left in a strange state that the moment they found out that hope for his recovery had all but gone, they went to him and said, O leader of the believers, may Allah reward you. You followed the book of Allah and implemented the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that moment, a youth arrived and said, O leader of the believers, glad tidings to you from Allah that you enjoyed the company of the of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gained early entry into Islam, attaining a rank which you are well aware of. You then became a leader and established justice before attaining martyrdom. He said, I just wish that they are sufficient for my salvation. Neither do I suffer due to them nor gain from them. As this youth walked away, his trousers were touching the ground. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, bring this boy over to me. He counseled him upon his return. O nephew, lift your trousers up to save it from the dust and dirt. It is also more near to fearing Allah. He then said to his son Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, go to the mother of the believers, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, and after conveying my greetings and salam to her, tell her that my heartfelt wish is to be buried next to my two companions. That if you hold any concerns about it, or if there are any drawbacks in it for you, then Jannat al-Baqi is better for me. Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala forthwith passed on the message to Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, I had reserved that space for myself, but I would give him preference. He was overjoyed when Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma passed the good news to him. He said, thanks be to Allah that he even fulfilled this greatest wish of mine. He added, listen, when I die, carry my body to the door of the mother of the believer's room. Send greetings and say, Umar seeks permission. Take me in if permission is granted, otherwise bury me in the graveyard of the Muslims if I am refused entry. Electing a Khalifa. The mother of the believer, Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha, went along with the other women to meet Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anha. Seeing them approach, others exited the room. She spent some moments with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and then went inside the house when the men sought permission to enter. Sound of her weeping could be heard outside. People requested, O the leader of the believers, impart to us some words of advice and appoint someone as your successor. He said, I do not feel that anyone is more worthy of being Khalifa than those whose state is such that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed this world while he was happy with them. He took the names of Sayyidina Ali, Usman, Zubair, Talha, Saad, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He said, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma will approach you as well, but the Khilafa is not his concern. He said this to avoid hurting Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma's feelings. If you appoint Saad radiallahu ta'ala as Khalifa, then so be it. Otherwise, seek assistance from whoever is leader, as I had not dismissed him due to weakness or dishonesty. He then appointed Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala to lead the prayers in his place and instructed, appoint a Khalifa within 3 days after my demise. He addressed. I advise the Khalifa after me to recognize the virtues of the forerunners amongst the migrators, protect their dignity, and afford them respect. I also advise them to be good to the helpers. They are people in whose place and in who in this place and in bringing faith took the lead. Except from those who do good from them and overlook the lapse of those who perpetrate wrong from amongst them. I also advise you to be kind to those who live in the surrounding cities, as they are the guardians of Islam, accumulators of wealth, and because of whom the enemies burn with jealousy. Do not take from them other than their surplus wealth and that which they extract gladly. I advise you to be good to the Bedouins, for they are the backbone of the Arabs and the roots of Islam. Take from their surplus wealth and return it to the destitute amongst them. I ask you to be kind to the Arabs and be mindful of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's promise. Fulfill the due of the Zimmis and fight others in order to protect them. Do not take work from beyond their strength. He called for his son and counseled him, Abdullah, find out how much debt I am burdened with. He calculated it and told him it was around 68,000. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala instructed, if it's possible to pay off the debt with our family's monies, then do it that way. Otherwise, seek assistance from the children of Adi ibn Ka'b. If their wealth is insufficient, then pay it off with the wealth of the Quraysh. But do not approach anyone other than the Quraysh. Demise. The pains of death commenced after this. What was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala's state was that was, and what was the level of his fear of Allah at that moment? try to gauge it by the words of the narrator, Miswar ibn Makrama radiallahu ta'ala, who reports that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was uttering, "By Allah, if I had so much gold that it would fulfill the entire earth, it would fill the entire earth, I would blindly give it away in compensation of Allah's punishment." He was saying, according to the another narration, "By Allah, if I had the whole world, if I had the whole world, if I had the whole world, I would give it away in compensation for myself." He was wounded on the 27th of Zulhijjah and departed this world on the fifth day after that, being Sunday, the first of Muharram, age 63. "Surely we belong to Allah, and to Him we shall return." Janazah prayer. When his body was brought forth for the janazah prayer, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala commented, "I had a feeling from onset that both of you will be buried at the side of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is because I have often heard that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned you both with his own mention. He also said, 'I supplicate Allah to make my book of deeds the same as Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala." Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala led the janazah prayer, and his grave was prepared next to that of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala in the holy chamber. It consists of only three graves, one belonging to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the second one to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and the third one to Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is in line with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed shoulder, while Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala's grave is in line with the blessed feet. One narration has it that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "Islam will weep on Umar's demise." Sayyidina Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala says, "My wish was to see Umar in a dream. In the end, I saw him a year later in a dream, wiping off perspiration from his forehead and saying, 'I am free now. It seemed as though my roof would collapse with a thud if the Most Kind and the Beneficent Allah had not taken care of me. Allah's mercy and compassion saved me. Otherwise, I would have faced annihilation.'" Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. Famous is the account pertaining to the martyrdom of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala. He attempted to pacify the insurgents and the rebels who besieged the house of the Khalifa by delivering swaying speeches on numerous occasions. Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala too delivered a speech, but nothing had an effect on them. Thamaba ibn Hazan al-Qushayri says, "I was amongst those present when Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala climbed to the rooftop of his house to appease the insurgents and face the crowd. He pronounced, 'Summon before me two individuals who have amassed you here.' They were called for, and they arrived at the scene just as two donkeys or camels would arrive. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala turned to the crowd and addressed, 'By Allah and by Islam, I ask you that you are aware that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Madinah Munawwara, the masjid was short and insufficient, so he appealed, "Who will purchase this land and sacrifice in the path of Allah? More better than this will be the recompense of that person in paradise. I fulfilled that call. So are you stopping me from offering prayers in this very masjid? By Allah, tell me, are you aware at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arrival in Madinah Munawwara, there was no sweet water well in Madinah Munawwara besides the well of Rumah? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appealed, who will purchase this well and sacrifice it in the path of Allah? More better than this will be the recompense for that person in paradise. I fulfilled that call. So are you depriving me drinking from that well? Do you even know that I armed the army of the hardships," yani referring to the battle of Tabuk, "with resources?" They said in unison, they said together, "By Allah, all of this is true." Yet it did not move them. He addressed the crowd further, "By Allah, can anyone amongst you recall the moment when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam climbed the mountain and began to move? He nudged the mountain with his foot and said, 'Calm down, O Hira, for there is a prophet, a verifier, yani a truth of Siddiq, and a martyr on you.' And I was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time." The public confirmed it. He then said, "For Allah's sake, did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not assume one of his hands as my hand when he sent me as an envoy from Hudaybiyah to Makkah? Did he not take the pledge of allegiance on my behalf by placing one of his hands on top of the other?" Everyone affirmed, saying, "It is the truth." Seeing that the pilgrimage was ceasing is to end in a few days, which would result in the people returning to Madinah Munawwara, and the opportunity to overthrow the government at hand would be lost, the insurgents planned to assassinate Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Something Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala heard with his own ears. Hence he addressed the gathering, "On what crime of mine do you thirst for my blood? There are three possibilities in Islam that allows one to be executed. Number one, in the case of adultery, where the perpetrator will be stoned if married, as part of an equitable retribution when one has one when one has murdered someone, or when one commits apostasy. Neither have I committed adultery in the days of ignorance, jahiliyyah, nor as a Muslim, nor have I killed anyone or reneged on Islam. Even today I bear witness that there is one Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. However, none of the discourses had effect on them. Consultation with the companions and the permission seeking. The consultation of the great companion radiallahu anhu ajma'in varied in opinion. Sayyidina Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala said, O leader of the believers, there are three options. So accept one of them. Present here is a strong group of your followers and selfless individuals. Come out with them and expel the rebels through confronting them. You are on the truth, they are on the falsehood, and people will support the truth. If you disagree with this proposal, then leaving aside the main door, escape this siege through creating an exit by knocking down a wall on the other side and head towards Makkah Mukarramah on your right. That is the sanctity of Haram, so they will not fight you there. Or you may travel to Sham, regions of Syria, Jordan and Palestine. The public there is sincere, and Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala's presence will be there. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala said, if I come out and declare war upon them, then I do not want to become the first Khalifa who shed blood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nation. There is no guarantee that they will stop short of violating the sacredness of the Haram and refrain from war. Should I leave for Makkah, as prophesied by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I do not want to be the person who travels to Makkah Mukarramah and its sacredness is then violated as a result of it. Neither can I travel to Sham, as I am unwilling to abandon my house of migration and the close proximity of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala's house was big and spacious. At the door and inside it, a large number of companions radiallahu anhu ajma'in, 700 were present. The leader of whom was Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala, the brave son of Sayyidina Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala. He presented himself to Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala and asked, O leader of the believers, we have many men present in this house. I will fight the rebels if you permit. Even if one of you holds such intentions, then I beseech him by Allah not to spill his blood for me, said Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala. 20 slaves were present at the house at time. He called them over and freed all of them. Sayyidina Sayyid ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala presented himself and said, O leader of the believers, their helpers are at the door awaiting permission to repeat their stirring deeds. He said, if combat is your objective, then I will not give you permission. My greatest aid in this moment is he who does not raise the sword to defend me. When Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala sought permission, he was told, Abu Huraira, would you be pleased to kill the entire humanity and also myself? No, he replied. Were you to kill even one person, it is as though you have killed everyone. This is an indication towards the part 5 ruku, verse number 32 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. After hearing this, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala returned, preparing for martyrdom. Due to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophecy, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala was convinced that he was destined to achieve martyrdom. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forewarned him of this event on numerous occasions and stressed to him to remain patient and steadfast. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala kept firm on the advice given invariably and eagerly awaited in anticipation of this occurrence. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala says, I went to visit Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala as he was surrounded, and he said to me, it is good that you have come. I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream last night saying, O Usman, these people have surrounded you. I replied, yes. He then said, they kept you thirsty. I said, yes. He then extended a bucket from which I drank water to my fill to the extent that its coolness was felt in my chest and shoulders before saying, you will receive help if you so wish and consequently overcome them. And if you desire, you can join us for iftar. I preferred to join him for iftar. He was fasting on the day of his martyrdom, which was a Friday. He dreamt that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhum ajma'in are together saying, Usman, hurry up, we await your presence for iftar. He related the dream to those present upon awaking. He said to his respected wife, near is the moment of my martyrdom. The rebels will kill me. This cannot happen, O leader of the believers, she moaned. But he said, I have already seen this dream. According to another narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Usman, perform Jummah prayer in my company today. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala's respected wife Naila ibn Farafisa radiallahu anha said, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala was fasting on the day before his martyrdom. He asked for water from the rebels, but they refused. He therefore did not undertake iftar and fell asleep. As suhoor time approached, I requested water from the neighbors, who gave me a container of it. I then went to him and nudged him, and he awoke, and I said to him, this is sweet drinking water. He lifted his head and said, I am fasting. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked over me from the roof of this hut with some sweet water and said, O Usman, drink the water. I drink from it to my fill. He then said, drink more. I drink from it to my fill once more. He finally said, people will soon reject you. If you fight them, you will be victorious. But if you leave them alone, you will partake in iftar with us. He then asked for trousers that he had not ever worn before, and he put them on. He called 20 of his slaves and freed them before opening the glorious Quran and engaging himself in the recitation. Martyrdom. The rebels stormed the house. Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, who stood guard at the door, suffered wounds as he mounted a defense. Four of the rebels jumped over the wall and got to the roof. Taking the lead was the youngest son of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, who was nurtured in the lap of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He aspired to attain a high post, but his failure in doing so turned him into Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala's enemy. He leapt forward and pulled Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala's beard. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala said to him, O nephew, had your father been alive today, we have not liked your conduct. Put to shame by these words, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr stepped back. However, Kinamna ibn Bishr came and struck him with the metal rod with such force that he fell to the ground on his side. Still, the words, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah, in the name of Allah, I put my trust in Allah, came on his lips. Sudan ibn al-Hiram al-Muradi struck another blow, and this time blood spouted forth from his body. Lastly, the heartless Amr ibn al-Hamak sat on Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu's chest and delivered 9 wounds with his spear to the different parts of his body. According to one narration, as wounds were being inflicted on his body and blood flowed onto his beard, he uttered, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-dhalimeen. There is no deity but you. Glory be to you. Verily, I have been among the wrongdoers. My Lord, I leave you to avenge these people and seek help from you in all my matters. I plead you to grant me patience in the circumstances I am involved in. In that moment, a wicked individual attacked him with a sword, but his loyal wife, Sayyidina Naila radiallahu anha, who was sat close by, took the sipe on her hand by raising it to protect him, resulting in 3 of her fingers being chopped off. The assault extinguished the resplendent light of Sayyidina Zunnurain radiallahu ta'ala, the possessor of 2 lights' life. Humanity mourned this lonely death. The beings of the heavens and the earth shed tears on the unjust killing. The authorities of destiny and fate pronounced, the bloodthirsty sword which was been unsheathed today will remain unsheathed until the day of judgment. The door of trials and dissension and dissension which has opened today will remain open until the day of resurrection. The chapter of tribulations in Sahih al-Bukhari indicates towards this. At the time Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala was engaged in Quranic recitation, with Quran recitation, with the Quran open before him. The verse that this unjust killing left bloodstained was, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. So Allah will suffice you against them, and He is the hearing and the knowing. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala inquired from those who witnessed Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala suffer in his blood after being wounded in regards to the words that emanated from his mouth. What did Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala utter as he lay in his blood? He asked, O my Lord, bring together the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and unite them. He repeated this 3 times, he revealed. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala said, by Allah, had he supplicated that there never be unity in them, then they would have remained disunited till the day of judgment. Ala ibn Fudail narrates from his father that Usman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala's treasures were searched after his martyrdom. A locked chest was found which contained a small box. When it was opened, a letter was found placed in it which read, this is Usman radiallahu ta'ala's will. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, Usman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala bears witness that there is no deity but Allah. He is alone, he has no partner, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a servant and messenger. Paradise is truth, hell is truth. Allah will resurrect everyone from their graves on the day of judgment. There is no doubt in it. Allah does not go against his promise. We remain alive on it, and we shall die on it. We will be resurrected on it, if Allah wills. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب اليك.